Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Eric from Encinitas.
Eric, alcoholic. Congratulations to the celebrants and welcome to the newcomers. First off, a little disclaimer. I'm not an authority on the Big Book or AA. I'm just an authority on my experience, strength, and hope. That being said, my sobriety date is 11/24/2011. My first day sober was Thanksgiving, and our family celebrated Thanksgiving one of the better ways that year, which was bailing me out of jail. My mom's an Al-Anon too, by the way, so she was really excited that I'd finally hit bottom. She had a Big Book ready for me. It was my sister's old Big Book. So you can already tell my family's semi-dysfunctional. But that's what happened. What I was like was I had my first drink when I was 13. And it was fun, I'm not going to lie. I had a lot of fun. There were other ways that I had fun other than drinking, but I hadn't had that much fun before. And it progressively became the only way I could have fun. Then it became the only way I could function at, like, with other people. And then it stopped being fun, and then I continued to drink for 3 more years until I got a DUI. It was progressively less and less fun. I just kept doing dumber and dumber things, blacking out, getting sick. I mean, I was drinking with the best of them, like as much as they were, but I was also getting sick and blacking out with the best of them. But I still continued to drink. I thought that if I could only control my behavior while I was drunk, then I would be good. I didn't put the two together that every single time that I got in trouble or did something stupid, it was under the influence of alcohol. It took me totaling my car, wrapping it around a light pole to figure that one out. So fast forward to November 23rd, 2011. Same night, I decided to. This is when I finally started to connect the dots that maybe alcohol, I don't process it the same way as other people, and I started to drink less often. And the time, my second to last time drinking was 3 months before that, because I was just afraid to drink because I didn't know what was gonna happen, and I tried to do some controlled drinking and wrapped my car around a light pole. I guess you could say that was my moment of clarity, I guess. The morning my mom, my Al-Anon mom handed me the Big Book, I wasn't in denial. That's when I finally turned around and looked back at my drinking career. And the fact that I had a drinking career. That's what got me into the rooms, but that's not what got me to do this thing like my life depended on it. I got a court card. My attorney said it would be a good idea to get it filled up with as many signatures as possible. So I did. I went to a bunch of meetings. Not a bunch, maybe like once a week. I wasn't in denial. First 30 days I raised my hand as a newcomer, but I was like as far away, like in the back as I possibly could be, as hidden as possible, but I was still raising my hand as a newcomer. And my sponsor was sitting right there. He one night two guys approached me after the meeting. I guess I was looking kind of miserable. one guy approached me with just his business card, and the other guy approached me with like a newcomer packet with like a schedule, like all the, like, are you an alcoholic? A huge phone list, and I chose the least helpful one because I took acts of kindness as like, why are you being nice to me? So I just chose the person who just gave me his phone number. But I didn't call him that night. I called him a couple months later. I wasn't quite willing enough. And by willing, I mean miserable and desperate. I kept on going to a bunch of meetings once a week. But I wasn't working a program like at all. I was just going to meetings. That's it. And I started to like isolate. I started to get like pretty miserable. Very miserable, very fast. I figured out it takes me 3 months before I hit bottom without a program. Simple things like feeding myself started becoming a chore. I was like 125 when I first got sober. Like getting out of bed was a chore, bathing myself. I just got pretty miserable. That's when I called my sponsor. We met up the following Sunday at a coffee shop. And started on step one. It was weird. Like, I got into this stranger's car, and he didn't, like, murder me. He ended up saving my life. In the big book, it talks about... spiritual life and an alcoholic death are not two easy alternatives to face. I got to step two. I didn't want to do business with a God who had done to me what he did to me in the past, took away loved ones, made me an alcoholic. I didn't want to do business with that God. So I was set out for the option number two, which is alcoholic death. I'd saved a bunch of Vicodin from when I got my wisdom teeth taken out the previous year for this exact reason. It's like an exit plan. Like 7 months later, I was talking to my sponsor, and I told him about it, and he said, "What are you saving these for?" And I said, "In case I ever wanted to kill myself." And we just started laughing. That's the thing that I like about AA is, and what made me keep coming back is we laugh at things that normal people don't laugh at. Like, that's out of context, that's just a horrible thing to laugh at. But yeah, I was ready. Well, obviously I didn't do it because I'm standing right here. And it's not like I decided against it and suddenly I was doing God's will and I was like practicing principles and all my affairs, and I was just like I threw it out and I'm suddenly on this spiritual path. I just ho-hummed my way through the rest of the steps, saving those, like I said, for 7 months in the event that this whole AA thing didn't work, which it ended up working. And I'll get to that. There's 2 minutes left. There's a in the back of the big book, it talks about like a spiritual awakening or something, like the educational variety that requires work. And I love work. Not really. And I had to, like, I constantly hated myself. Like, I would just beat myself up all the time about things I did in the past, things on my eighth step list. Just like 20 times a day, like, you're a scumbag, you did this, like, you are a failure, you dropped out of college, like, all this stuff. And then I made the amends. Like, those things that I was beating myself up for just, like, dissipated and my head got quiet, and it was really awkward. I wasn't used to being content with the way things were, and I texted my sponsor, like, something's wrong. Like, I'm content with the way I am. I thought it was a legitimate problem because my head was telling me that I am this bad person, and my heart was telling me the opposite because I had righted those wrongs. And he told me that I should go back to sleeping until 3 p.m. and isolating. I love my sponsor. And that's what happened, what it's like today. The other day, a girl asked me how my day was, and I said, unbelievable. And she said, how so? I said, well, she was probably expecting me to say, like, I rescued a toddler from getting hit by a truck or something. I won the lottery. The bank was being robbed, and I saved it from being robbed. I don't know. Just something phenomenal, all before noon. But my response was, I left my house, I got in my car, drove to college, drove home, helped somebody study for a math test, and went to an AA meeting. First off, I wouldn't leave my house if it was on fire a year ago. A year ago, I couldn't drive a long distance without wrapping it around a light pole. College wasn't on my mind. Staying in my room and decaying or atrophying was my goal in life. Helping others, that wasn't on my priority list a year ago. Man, going to an AA meeting at the end of the day. Having a program, that wasn't anywhere near what I planned on doing, and that was unbelievable. Thank you.